Hey, H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 a.m.
That right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and
what
Coach.
Up? Up?
You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real
Woo.
Talk, canine, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And it's the SRT crew in the building. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a great week. We already said Happy New Year to you last week, but we'll say it again. Happy New Year to all those who was on vacation last week. Gave away $25. You missed it. Point blank missed it. Shout out to Eric Vincent, Memphis, Tennessee, winning the $25 gift card. And if this is your first time listening, shame on you, but we do appreciate it. Hottest sports show on Sports Talk Radio. I mean, we number one Google search. That's been proven.
Yeah.
Google it yourself.
Facts.
Google it yourself.
Google me.
Facts.
And with that being said, if you don't know who we are, I am your humbled host, H.O. from Bankhead.
Bankhead. It won't fall.
You already know. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
This is the show where sports and entertainment meets. And to get to the rest of my crew, I got the diamond of the crew in the building.
The jewel of sports is in the building. What up, crew?
What happening?
What up, ATL? Go Clemson! I'm just playing D. Don't hurt me. I'm just playing D.
With my boot back.
You know I had to throw that in there, messing with my boy. What up, crew?
What up? You good tonight?
Yeah, I'm cool. You know, it's a little hot up in here, but
yeah.
I'm making toasted. It.
Yeah.
I'm sweating a little bit.
You're going to have a lot to say about your new coach in Denver.
Yep.
We'll get to that.
Yep.
No, we will. And we got the six man. He was just up here collecting money.
Wow. He came to get the check. He ain't dropping it at all.
Hey, he came up here to collect money. And guess what we said? Well, this is the thing. We have people on the show that are parents. And Hancock probably got parent of the year a couple of years straight.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to drop his youngin' off in T-Town.
Yeah. T-Town.
So he will not be with us tonight. But filling in, it's the sixth man of the year, Mr. J Smooth.
Yo, what up, crew?
What up?
What's happening, Smooth?
Sixth man of the year.
Man, I'm excited. I've been here since the beginning, and really, I'm a fan at this point. So it's like I'm sitting with all my favorite radio personalities, and I finally get to talk sports with you guys. So, I mean, it's a pleasure and an honor. I didn't expect it. Like you said, I just came to collect some money. So
there you go.
So well, that's
what happens.
Yeah.
You already know.
Oh, get your plug on. You got to get your plug on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, check me out if you love music. Check out the Switch Style Podcast. We'll have a new episode coming soon for you. If you like, Killer Mike and Producer LP will be talking about Run the Jewels 3. So check that out coming very soon at Switch Style Podcast. SwitchStylePodcast.com/SoundCloud or SoundCloud.com/SwitchStylePodcast. Can't get it out.
There you go. And I don't know how I should say this now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, you got to change that.
Well, let me do it like this. Four out of eight championships of the world.
Okay.
My main man from the Gump, D-Will, the coach, is in the building.
Hi.
Wow.
So somber. Hey, D.
Hey, crew.
What's happening, D?
Hey, I'm here.
He does not sound like his usual self.
He doesn't.
Oh, man.
Is that you here?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here, but I'm here.
There you go.
You all right?
Hey, G.
Yo.
You okay, D? I mean.
Oh, yeah, I'm gravy.
Okay. I mean, you sound too excited today.
I'm actually not Gucci.
He ain't Gucci at all. You can tell in that voice.
His demeanor, his tone is just completely different.
Really, well,
we don't even know who
that person is in the corner.
We're going to have a breakdown of actually what could have been one of the best played football games ever. And we'll definitely talk about that. But on a sad note, I want to make sure that especially me, send out our condolences to my godmother's brother, Mr. Danny Smith, passed away yesterday. And cancer strikes again. So to Danica and Danielle Smith Livingston, we love you. Keep your head up, and we'll be talking to you soon. But keep your head up, mostly.
Definitely. Stay up, for real.
Most deaf.
Man, people are leaving up out of here like it's like Florida going north.
Hey, like it's nobody's business.
Well, Florida don't go north. Actually, go east.
I was going to ask that question.
I was going to say, don't the odd numbers go north or south?
Yeah, you're right. Hey, but listen, on a greater note and on a more positive note, we got a great show for you tonight. Of course, we got the Hot 5. And the question of the day was that the best college championship game you ever saw, whether it be football or basketball. The roundtable discussion, we will break down all of what we saw Monday night. And water cooler report, and we got our main man, DW, calling in at 9:15. So stay tuned for DW of the Falcoholic calling in with the Falcons report. And with that being said, G, Hot 5 at 8. Let's get to it.
It's time for the SRT Hot 5. The hottest 5 stories of the week.
Hot 5 at 8 is sponsored by Smart Shield Security. If you need home security or cameras, please contact our friends at smartshieldsecurity.com. You can give them a call at 404-590-3996. And we do have to mention that if you want to get something off your chest, call the show. Please contact us at 404-603-8770. But let's jump into these questions. Tiff!
Yes, sir.
If you are a Raider fan, how would they feel, or how would you feel if you had the season that you had and you lost a playoff game to Brock Osweiler?
Well, if I'm a Raider fan, as soon as my MVP quarterback went down, my hopes was out the window of what they was about to do. So in that game, I was just going to be on my knees hoping and wishing and praying that my squad was going to do enough to stay in the game and that the defense could do something to basically keep the Texans from scoring points. So honestly, I really won't be feeling too disappointed because I already knew what was going to happen. Like, Derek Carr is my team MVP. Without him, we not putting points on the board like we normally do. And the team morale isn't as high as it normally is when he's around. So everybody's not playing to that extra level that they play at when Derek Carr is on the field. Yep. And so I knew that that wasn't going to happen if I'm a Raider fan. So,
bruh, they went in with Connor Cook.
That part Connor right Cook. There, D.
He was third string.
That part, D.
Cowboy.
Yeah, who was the backup?
I don't even know who he was. But I'd take him over Connor Cook.
Matt McGloin.
I'd take him over Connor Cook.
Right.
So Connor Cook ain't never took a snap.
I mean, come on.
Right.
So my hopes was not high if I saw him.
Y'all think the Raiders messed up by not having a decent, like a veteran backup quarterback?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Should have kept Matt Schaub, man.
Yep.
That's a lot of teams like that.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't Michael Crabtree like the third string quarterback?
He was the emergency quarterback.
Okay,
he sure. Yeah, that was about to say he was.
That would have been awesome.
I would like to see him back there.
I didn't see the game. Did he get his chain snatched again?
That would have been hilarious.
That would have been the best if that happened for real.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two.
All right, Big HO. Atlanta Hawks trade Millsap. Don't trade Millsap. What's going on with their front office? Because I'm confused.
Well, you're not alone.
Like, straight up.
You're not alone.
You are not alone.
Let me just sum it up like this. Ever since Danny Ferry left.
Ooh, you can say that again.
I can't name one move that the Hawks have made that has been relevant or beneficial.
Wow.
He's telling the truth.
And you know how... You know how women, when women and men start dating, especially the woman will say this more than the guy will. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Wow.
What direction are we going?
Right.
Well, at this point, the front office for the Hawks have no direction. Mm-hmm. You put them on the block, take them off the block. At least tell me what direction. Are you trying to rebuild or are you just trying to get better and compete? I don't know that answer. And as a fan, it sucks. So now, I'm for the first time in my life, I'm thinking that when y'all women ask that question, I guess I know what you feel now.
Me. Yeah. For real. Yeah. Wow. You're feeling that type of way right now.
I mean, you know, it's you give Bazemore $70 million.
Makes me laugh every time I hear it. I crack up. That's so funny to me.
You signed Dwight. You could have signed Horford before you signed Dwight. And by the way, Horford coming to town Friday, on Friday the 13th. So he'd probably be in this Jason Voorhees mask.
Right.
But the front office is atrocious. And I think there's a guy that is a consultant that's still sitting out there. Name is Jerry West, the logo of the NBA. Can somebody make a phone call and get him into this Hawks organization and say, can you build that something?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just that simple. The Hawks have no direction, and I don't know if the front office even knows what's going on. And then to couple that with this supposed to be GM Wes Wilcox.
Yeah.
The comments that he made.
Off the chain.
Because he had, well, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, because that's a segment.
Yeah.
Basically. Exactly.
Yeah. But you get rid of Danny Ferry.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right,
question number three. Jay Smooth, Six Man, your thoughts on Draymond Green getting in the face of Kevin Durant after Durant calls for ISO.
Wow. Well, before I start, let me just quickly point this out. The team that they lost to, I have a very deep affinity for.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for the disclaimer.
Right. I had to point that out first. But to Draymond and Kevin Durant, Draymond is obviously an emotional guy. And we've seen this at Michigan State throughout his tenure with the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
And Kevin Durant is more so known as the laid-back guy. A guy who really, he's not a
confrontational.
Yeah, a confrontational guy. So you would figure they would butt heads at some point. But the thing is, they lost a 24-point lead to the Grizzlies. And had to throw that in there. So emotions were already high. And for Kevin Durant to play outside of the offense, and it was pretty much reminiscent of the Christmas Day game.
Right.
When he got tripped by Richardson Jefferson. It was, I won't say it was the same exact situation. But Kevin Durant was the one who had the ball in his hands again at the end of the game. So I love that Draymond held him accountable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's early in the season. It's January. You have to hold him accountable because you don't want these things to resurface come playoff time. So I love what Draymond did. I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, somebody probably should get in KD's face more.
For real, because this ain't OKC. You ain't Golden State now. We got a team. You going to play team ball.
And they have to win. If they don't win this year, if they do not win this year, I don't know what to say. They have to win. So I love what Draymond did. He should get in Steph's and Clay's face as well.
I agree.
All right, question number four. D-Will. Your boy went AWOL the other day. And we speaking of Derrick Rose.
I'm mad you asking this question because I had a whole segment on what is going on with him.
I know, but I skirt the surface.
Exactly.
You can just go ahead and roll with it, D. I'll skip my story.
What's going on with D Rose or Derrick Rose?
Or more
importantly, is he done?
From the outside looking in, because because I'm not a doctor. I'm a coach. Yeah. You know, I teach you how to ball.
There you go.
You know, I don't heal you. I leave the saving up to Hancock. Okay.
There you go.
But him not being the player he used to be, and then all of the media scrutiny, and then the off-court situations with being acquitted, exonerated, whatever you want to call it, from the rape case, and only being 28 years old, I think it's only so much a person can take.
And he's butting heads with Hornacek a little bit now.
It's only so much a person can take in their personal life that they can go and do their job successful. And for somebody who does the job that he does and who is always in the spotlight and production matters on a nightly basis 82 times in a year, sometimes it gets too much. Now, he has kids.
He has a son.
He has other obligations. So, is he done? The Derrick Rose that we once knew, loved, and we see flashes of every now and then is dead.
Mm. Wow.
He's absolutely right.
You know what, though? He's dead to everyone except him. He still thinks he's that guy from 6 years ago.
I don't even know if I think
he does.
That.
No, but he actually does because he wants to seek a 5-year deal after this season.
Oh,
he wants a 5-year deal.
We may not believe it, but he believes it.
I ain't finished. Well, he's finna get $150 million.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No doubt about it. And because Hancock said best, it's the bad boyfriend syndrome. Somebody think they can fix him.
And he's still serviceable because he averages, 17?
Oh, what, like I say, you see 85% of what he used to be.
Right.
But when you look at him and you watch him play, you're expecting what he was. Because like I say, he's still only 20. He's just entering the prime of his career. He has another 5 to 7 years to be productive and dominant if he can get back there. But
how do you put Derrick Rose in serviceable in the same sentence? Like when,
and that's, thank you.
That is,
he's an MVP. He's an MVP.
I mean,
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, you maybe at 36, you can say that.
Thank you.
Right.
Like I say, he's 28. He has another, like, your prime of your athletic being is from 28 to 32.
Jordan didn't even win his first ring to 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, the Derrick Rose experience is like going to what used to be your favorite restaurant before you caught food poisoning.
Boom.
It just doesn't taste the same.
It just don't sit right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Oh, my God. All right, question number 5. G Money, come join us, baby. Did Le'Veon Bell just say to the world that I'm still the best back in the league?
I wasn't aware that he said that. He did say recently he's the Steph Curry of running backs.
Okay. Oh,
whoa.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah.
Whoa. And he's expecting other running backs behind him to copy his patient running style, trying to bait the linebacker, as he says, you know, picking what cutback lane he wants to go into.
Right.
Expecting his line to hold their blocks a little bit longer. I mean, I'm expecting more holding calls if he's going to keep running like that. I mean, it works for him. I don't know if it works for anybody else. Just like with Steph Curry's game, there's no one else who can really do that, can play the way he does.
True.
Yeah.
As far as being the best back in the league, there. If you're going to say that, I see it from there.
Well, let me just... to keep him away.
Right.
Keep him away from, as D. Will has called, that good Reggie. Keep him away from that. He wouldn't have missed the first 3 games. He probably would have led the league in rushing.
True that.
And then we would be talking about him more as being the best back in the league. It probably wouldn't be much of a discussion.
Yeah, and then I may take that comment a little bit better. Because Steph is a 2-time MVP.
Yeah.
Well, maybe on anyone.
Thing.
So... the thing is, though,
because he can't stay on the field because of, well,
that good.
Do you think that by his running style, the kids are actually taking this to the PlayStations and trying to run the way that he runs on the PlayStation game.
Does it work like that? I don't think it works like that. It works in real life.
Okay, it does not work on Madden.
That's what I didn't tell you. Thanks.
Now I'm coming more onto the side of this comparison now, because I understand now if you see kids in little leagues trying to run like this, because if you go look at Lonzo Ball's youngest brother, he's shooting shots in the game from half court.
Yeah.
So he's taking on the Steph Curry mentality of shooting it from anywhere.
Right.
Now, if Le'Veon can be that type of person, because half court,
yeah,
what would you do?
That's embarrassing.
What?
He pointed at the line.
Like, I'm going to shoot it from right here. He in 10th grade.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to shoot it from right here.
Oh, wow.
Bulldog. Bottom.
What?
Half court, literally.
Oh, yeah. His coach must have been on a break, went to the concession stand.
I'm like, he let him do that in the game?
Listen, no emotion. Turned around and just walked back on defense.
Wow.
Well, he was already on defense.
He said, take one step back and get his stance.
Oh, boy. So, Le'Veon Bell. So, we go see what he go do this weekend. The Triple B's will be at Kansas City, and we'll definitely talk about that. But that ends the Hot 5 at 8, sponsored by Smart Shield Security. If you need security for your home or cameras, please contact our friends. Monitoring rate starts at $14.95 a month. SmartShieldSecurity.com is the website to go to for all specials and rebates. And we're going to go ahead and take a quick sports update with the Jew, but when we get back, man, we got a lot to talk about on this round table discussion, baby. Keep it locked. Facebook Live, man. Forgot about it. Y'all stay tuned. Sports Roundtable, we in the building.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to the Sports Update with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. College football news for you. Shout out to Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head coach, for becoming the first coach to beat Urban Meyer and Nick Saban back-to-back. And if you haven't heard by now, Michigan college football star Jabril Peppers, the man that lined up in 15 different positions on 933 snaps this season, has declared for the NFL draft. The 2017 Star-Studded College Hall of Fame inductees have been announced. Shout out to my boy Peyton Manning, Team Peyton Manning for life, for leading the list with Steve Spurrier, who got in now as a head coach. He was already a member as a player since 1986. Peyton Manning holds 42 NCAA, SEC, and Tennessee records. Spurrier led the Gators to 6 SEC championships and a national title in 1996. He is the all-time winningest coach at both Florida and South Carolina. Others that made it in are Marshall Faulk, Kirk Gibson, Brian Urlacher, Bob Crabble, Matt Leinart, Bob McKay, Dat Nugent, Adrian Peterson, Mike Ruth, and Coach Larry Cares. NBA news for you. Since we were talking about Derrick Rose, I'll get back more into this story. He did go AWOL before their game for the Pelicans on Monday. He did not answer his phone when the Knicks called him. Joakim Noah called him after the game, and Rose told him that he was okay and that he had a family emergency that he had to go back to Chicago for. He went back to practice the next day and basically explained to the Knicks and everything what happened. And he said that they understood what he was going through, but he said that he got to a point emotionally that he's never felt before, and he actually considered walking away from basketball. So he's really, like Dee mentioned, he's got personal stuff. Like, he's really going through something mentally right now, for real.
Wow.
Yeah, so he went home to be with his mom is where he was.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
Yeah, he was with his mother. So wow. I don't really think it was something with her. I actually think he was having a mental breakdown. Because he is going through, he's having trouble. He's arguing with Jeff Hornacek, the coach. He's mad that Jeff Hornacek had benched him a couple of fourth quarters. Right. So he's going through some mental things. And you know what? That's a wrap on your sports update with the Jewel of Sports. Catch the Sports Roundtable every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on WWE AM 1100.
Keep your ears locked. Sports Roundtable will be right back.
When you've been married for 45 years, you begin to...
to finish each other's sentences.
Like how Kmart is now...
a preferred Medicare Part D pharmacy with...
copays as low as a dollar, which means we save lots of money. So I can finally build that...
woman cave in the basement, Loretta's lair.
Wait.
What?
Oh, you heard me.
Head to Kmart Pharmacy today for Medicare Part D copays as low as $1. Kmart Pharmacy accepts most Medicare Part D plans and is preferred in many. Visit any Kmart Pharmacy for details or go to kmartpharmacy.com to find a location nearest you.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-506-6912, 800-506-6912, 800-506-6912. That's 800-506-6912.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. If you want to listen to the most entertaining sports show on radio, tune in to Sports Roundtable on WWE 1100 AM.
Here's your SRT Roundtable discussion.
Roundtable discussion sponsored by my main man Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new pre-owned or a new car, please contact Jay's at 770-496-0339. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. I was actually just waiting on the beat. And for those who don't know, Future is our music selection for the night.
Oh, goodness. Is this for a reason?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Everything is for a reason.
Because he thinks Future is going to win the Falcons a game.
And this is a shot at Russell Wilson.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all are a mess.
Stop it. Did you really just do Future tonight so you could throw shots at Russell Wilson?
There's a petition for Future to sing the national anthem for the game. That's what's going down in Atlanta right now.
And you know what they need to do? They need to give out replica Gucci flip-flops at the door.
Yeah.
That'll be dope.
Right.
Give out replica Gucci flip-flops to all the Gucci fans. Flip-flops.
That's a good come-up for somebody in Vine City.
Oh, hey, no. Greenbrier Flea Market?
Right.
Oh, they going to ball out. They got them.
All right, let's get straight to it. Thoughts of the game. Great game. Believe it or not, the first quarter was not as I almost went to sleep.
I almost went to sleep in the first quarter too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I almost went to sleep.
Yeah.
I was about to put that sleep number on 25.
Oh.
And go out.
Yeah.
Because it was looking bad in the beginning. Alabama defense gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter. Something that I would have never thought would happen. Mike Williams is a beast.
Yes.
Clemson is them young folks say they on one.
They on one.
Yeah, they on one.
That's what the young folks say.
they on one. We was talking, Mindy, and I was explaining that I felt like, in my opinion, one of the biggest things, can't say if it would have helped or hurt, but one thing that I did notice is that if you're a freshman quarterback, and you're probably not a freshman at this point, but changing offensive coordinators, I think Lane could have showed him or pointed out to him, Jalen Hurts, and I'm speaking of, that maybe in game two or game four, when these teams were trying to make you throw the ball, this is what we went to. So it was a more comfortable feel for Jalen, in my opinion. Not to say Sark is not a great play caller or offensive coordinator, whatever the case may be, but it's just that he only had so much time to put this game plan together.
I'm with you on that.
And I think Nick felt, Uncle Nick, Nick Saban, by the way, just bought another Mercedes dealership in Nashville, 60,000 square feet. So just wanted to make sure that everybody understand that. I felt like Nick thought that his defense would pull him out, and because Scarborough was the last two or three games, was in rhythm. And he wanted that cow, that bell cow. And when he went down in the third quarter, it was a whole lot of third and eights.
Yep.
It was a lot of third and eights from the second quarter on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they say the Alabama punter probably punted more this game than he did all season combined.
He's a good punter too.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, he's going to the NFL.
He will be a very high NFL draft.
Yes,
it was the most punts in the Nick Saban era in a game.
Oh, no doubt.
What was the number? 11?
Yeah, hands down, that had to be the most.
First double digit.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hands down. I was like, I didn't even know they had a punter.
Why are y'all talking about these frivolous stats?
Well, I'm just
your producer.
I'm just breaking down what I saw in the game.
Yeah.
And I saw Alabama needs to get big in secondary. They got to get bigger in the secondary because they was just throwing it up and they was just jumping up getting it. Even though there might have been a couple of push-offs.
I don't know if it's bigger, maybe just like better.
They've had the
pass rush.
Right.
For a long time.
No, G, stop it. Stop it.
Well, they had a pass rush this year.
This and last year.
This year. But when you have a good pass rush, that makes the secondary, that covers better up for the secondary.
Hey, listen, our secondary is elite.
Clemson's receivers wanted that ball. They wanted them footballs.
Hey, listen.
They
four receivers with 90 yards.
They balled out for those footballs. I am not going to take nothing away from Alabama's defense. Clemson receivers wanted those footballs.
Now, back-to-back games against Alabama over 400 yards.
Yeah. And four receivers all went for 90 plus yards.
And one was a walk-on.
Listen. Let me talk to you.
One of them will play for the Patriots. But anyway.
Listen, the loss of Eddie Jackson was major. It didn't show its ugly head until Monday night. Okay?
Wow. Yeah.
Because he is the quarterback of the secondary.
All right? Damn, Chancellor.
He's more Earl Thomas than he is Cam Chancellor. Harrison is our Cam Chancellor who steps up and pops you. And I got a little something about him too. But losing Eddie Jackson, which made us have to turn around, didn't show its ugly head until Monday because you got a 6'3 receiver and both of our corners are 5'9.
Mm. Ooh!
All right? When you got an elite athlete, if you watch Deshaun, those weren't accurate. They were like, look at his accuracy.
They were high. No, they were high off to the side.
He was throwing the ball. Pass to tight end caught was a horrible pass.
They were reaching for them balls.
He turned on the backside and caught them. Mm-hmm. All right. So my point is, Marlon Humphrey is a first-round pick. Averett has been locked down all season because he's been the one that has been picked on because they don't throw at Humphrey. Okay? But once you had to take Minkah Fitzpatrick out of that nickelback position and move him to safety, even though Tony Brown's a former five-star and plays very well, it just throws off the dynamics of your defense. And when they had those big receivers and a dynamic quarterback, it reared its ugly head.
And Facebook Live there said, Tampa may take Bama's punt in the second round.
Wow.
They probably will.
But I'm going to tell you, since we're talking about our punter, and for just to give him some props, J.K. Scott. J.K. Scott had a horrible play in the game. He had a 30-yard punt in the first half.
24-yard.
Yeah, it was not sure.
It was 30.
I thought was it 30?
It was 30. You giving him 30, D?
No, it was exactly 30. Please believe me, I counted them.
Okay.
I can tell you the grain of grass.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like 30.
I do have a question for you that is not related to punting. I think we spent too much time on that. I think you would agree. Okay, I was looking at how many plays Clemson ran. They had 93 plays.
Yes.
93 plays.
Yes.
I think Bama had like 66. Do you think like fatigue was a – how much do you think fatigue was a factor?
It was a huge factor. It was a huge factor. Like my thing is – And me and Big H.O. had this conversation. If you asked me about this year's 2016 Alabama team, and you would have told me in week one, you're going to have a freshman quarterback in a national championship game with 2 minutes to go, would you rather be in a two-minute drive, or would you rather have your defense on the field for a two-minute drive? Give me Alabama's defense every day of the week, all right? But I will say this. Last year, Clemson ran 90 plays, scored in the end to make the score 45-40. Had the onside kick it back to Bama with 30 seconds to go. This year, they had 93 plays, and they ran the clock out. This year and last year are identical games. Clemson just had the ball at the end. If they have it at the end last year, we have the same outcome. All right? Because our defense was tired. You can't play 90 plays on defense and expect for your defense, I don't care how good they are, to be effective. At some point, because, and I agree with you, G, the secondary needs help. But without that pass rush, there's no way. Because how many times did you hear Tim Williams' name all night?
I thought he said out.
I was about to say, did they say his name?
Listen, Tim Williams had a half tackle all night.
Wow. Jeez.
Wow. This boxer gave him credit for one.
They gave him a whole one on that
whole
one.
Tackle.
I gave him half because somebody else had him, and then he tackled on top. So they gave, he had a half a tackle all night.
All right, Tim, what's your thoughts on the game?
Well, first of all, Jalen Hurts needs some throwing accuracy training. Okay. Like, I mean, because he's not accurate at all. I mean, and that was part of their problem. Like, he throwing the ball to who? I mean, he definitely needs to work on his accuracy. Another one of my thoughts, like, Clemson, they have a lot of movement on offense. And that could tire out Alabama's defense because they probably trying to figure out what Clemson got going on because of all they different shuffling. They got so much movement. They trying to confuse people. And so that had a lot to do with it. Like Clemson, the way their playbook is drawn up and the way they execute and try to confuse you with their plays, they did a good job. A
lot of window dressing.
And they did a good job at the end of the game. They actually had people thinking that they was going to go for a field goal to tie the game up and go into overtime. Like, they really did not look like they were driving to score a touchdown at the end of that game. They looked like they was about to just do enough to probably kick a field goal and do it. But
they had that timeout.
Yes,
they had
right. They had a timeout, and they let 24 seconds run
right.
off
Right, they
clock.
Really did. That's what got me. I'm like, why did they let so much time run off?
Because you know what, Tiff? They were playing for the field
That's
goal.
What I thought.
They were.
That's what
Until
I thought.
The
That's what I thought, yeah.
Just so happens that Deron Payne, number 94, decided to get boneheaded 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct when he made a ill-advised hit away from the play, which gave them 15 extra yards, would push them in the red zone with 30 seconds to go. With a timeout, 30 seconds in the red zone, and you're on your 90th play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They must not have been too tired then. Jay Smooth, thoughts on the game?
For me, after Bo Scarborough went down, it just pretty much spiraled out of control, for lack of a better word or phrase. Because you couldn't convert first downs anymore, which led to your defense being on the field a lot more, which resulted in Clemson's 93 plays. Mm-hmm. But that was the key for me. And since we were talking about penalties, Bama had 9 penalties for 82 yards. So
ooh, yeah,
some
did.
Of the, you know, the wounds discipline. Were self-inflicted. Discipline. Yeah, self-inflicted
and
wounds.
Talk to me, Jay.
And the coach, I always say, being tired makes you a coward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being tired makes you a coward.
Yeah.
So you're going to do some things that you don't normally do when you're tired.
Say that penalty stat again.
Bama committed 9 penalties and for 82 yards.
Not listen, but let me tell you, we had 3 first down penalties. So when you have 3 first down penalties, that automatically puts you behind the chains.
Yep.
So now our running game has just turned the tide because now you got to expect Jalen to throw the ball on
3rd and 8, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7.
You see what I'm saying? So that changed the whole offensive playbook and play calling for a
new offensive coordinator.
I really don't like. I really don't like the fact that they switched the offensive coordinator at the championship game. Like, I think that was a mistake. Well, I don't care how they say it. I don't care what happened. Lane Kiffin should have been the offensive coordinator in that championship game.
I agree with you, mainly because you have a freshman quarterback.
Hello.
If he was a senior,
with him all year.
If he was a senior, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
And this is what I said on Facebook. This is not the game to go conservative.
No.
Yeah. This is
Dude,
not
this
the game.
Championship.
Not this one.
This is a championship.
Not against these kids.
The national championship against Clemson. This is the rematch. You know they out for blood, and you know they want to rip y'all faces off and win this game. Why do you do this to yourself?
But, hey, listen, with all that being said, Alabama was leading with 2 minutes to go in the game.
There it is.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because politics got in the way.
Yeah, like, it did.
You know, and I don't know the whole situation between Lane and Saban. But
it was bad.
Yeah,
they don't like each other. Yeah.
Wow.
So
and since they don't like each other, that cost Saban his title in my
and
mind.
And I'm gonna tell you like
Real
this:
talk.
Like I agree.
Because I actually think that if Lane had that play call, the momentum would have been different in the get throughout the game. Lane takes shots.
He would have been taking shots.
The momentum would have been different. He would took a shot in the first in the first sequence.
And I agree. The play calling, like I'm gonna tell you like this: Steve Sarkisian's play calling was brilliant during the game. Considering. He called a great game. All right. The thing is, it's moments of the game, okay? When you see Jalen struggling. It's not words to be. Everybody always say, well, you hear the same voice, and it ain't about the words. It's about the situations that he's able to put you in because he knows you.
Mm-hmm. And that's where he
Lane
missed Lane.
Lane Kiffin because it would have been he was throwing, if you notice. In the first quarter, the first three passes he threw right to the right-hand side of the offense were knocked down. Mm-hmm. All three to the left were behind the line of scrimmage screens. How predictable is that? That's because you're being a play-calling offensive coordinator. I'm going to call safe plays to where I know a quarterback, not this quarterback, will be comfortable.
Right.
So he's throwing passes that Jalen is not used to 1, 2, 3, get it out quick.
No, he's not.
It's play action, roll out, then get it.
Exactly.
You're talking 6'5", 6'4", and 6'5", on the end for Clemson. They knocked down his first three passes to the right, and everything they threw left went backwards. So that is – it was a big difference because it was a new person. But all in all, he called a good game because, like I said, 2 minutes to go in the game, Alabama's up.
Still up. Did we overlook Clemson the whole season? Because
it was hard to believe in them.
Thank you, G.
And another thing is Clemson normally – Clemson.
It's a verb.
It is a verb.
Right. Yeah.
And – I think Hancock said it best. They cruise through the season, flying under the radar to get to this point, and then they was going to show up. They did the San Antonio Spurs.
And go listen to our show before the playoffs were chosen. We said that Clemson was backdooring their way into a Final Four.
Yeah.
Yep.
They backdoored their way in. Mm-hmm.
And this is a team that, like, being a Florida State fan, I've seen Clemson for a long time. I'm not sure if this is their most talented team overall. Like, Watson is probably their best quarterback they ever had. But I've seen the teams where they had Taj Boyd, where they had Hopkins and Watkins, where they had Woody Dantzler and C.J. Spiller. Like,
Vic Beasley, the sack leader in the NFL.
Vic Beasley.
You can go on and on.
Yeah, I mean, they've had so much talent come through that program. But to finally, it was hard for me to believe until, like, they actually won the game. I was like, I couldn't like bring myself to
believe. Even with 1 second left, I was like, no, hold on. Alabama still might get the ball and win. I still thought
they might pull a Cal Stanford play right now.
And I was asked this during the week, and when the person asked me the question, they preference this by saying, I want an unbiased answer. Cool. They was like, do you think Clemson won the game or Alabama lost it? And I was like, circumstances at hand, I would say Alabama laid that on a platter. From the Lane Kiffin mistake to the penalty, to the eight penalties for 80 yards. Yeah. To the big 15-yard mental mistake that Bama never makes. They're so disciplined, they never make that 15-yard personal foul penalty at that juncture of the game. The other team does that against Bama. Bama doesn't make that. So they laid it on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from Clemson because they won the game. They went out there and did what they had to do to win. But in all circumstances, I think they handed it to him.
To G's point about the Clemson team, maybe not the most talented or whatever.
They're not.
Based on what Dabo is saying, maybe this is the team that loved each other the most.
Wow.
Yep, that's what he said. It's about love.
It's about love.
That's easy to say when you win a game, ain't it?
Yeah. You say a lot of stuff
when you win.
Yeah. Like I heard on the radio show, like, in saying that, like, Watson is the best quarterback they've ever had. If he does nothing in the NFL, he's still a legend.
Oh, of course.
He's like Tebow, Manziel. Ooh, Watson is in that company at least.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He'll never pay for another meal in South Carolina.
Hey, but listen. Hey, how many national championships did Tim Tebow win?
Two.
Okay.
I say one and a half. That first one.
Yeah.
He ran a jump pass. They put him in the game.
That was Chris Leak's championship.
Well,
he wasn't the starting quarterback.
He's going to show you two rings.
He sure is.
You got to count that.
He does have rings.
I can't argue that. But my point is, Tim Tebow. All right. Deshaun Watson should be mentioned in that category, and he should be decorated as such, but he's not.
All right, well, let me ask you this then. That drives me to the next question. I said in the first quarter his stock was dropping.
Because he looked like mess in that first quarter. He was getting, man, they was knocking him all over the place.
He looked like my room when I was in the third grade.
Oh, hey, listen.
A mess.
That clothesline on the third play of the game from Reuben Foster shook him up.
Yeah.
And then the helicopter, the series after that when he was going for the first.
When they spun him around.
Listen, anybody would be shook out taking those hits.
Yeah, I'm surprised Mike Williams came back in the game.
He was concussed.
Yeah, he was concussed. No doubt.
Yeah. So after you saw the whole game and saw how Watson actually performed after the first quarter, take the first quarter out, he looked like a Heisman Trophy winner. But how much did his stock rise after winning the championship, in your opinion, Jay Smooth?
For me, it put him in the first round, where I felt that he should have been all along. I'm not saying he should be a top 10 pick. He's a Georgia boy, and for his sake, I hope and pray that Hugh Jackson and the Browns don't decide to get smart and take him. I hope they don't. I don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
But for me, it easily puts him in the first round, because I think they had a couple guys ranked ahead of him. The guy from North Carolina.
Trubisky.
Yep. Mitch Trubisky. And
Kizer.
Kizer, someone else. So, he's easily better than both of them, in my opinion, if you ask me.
Tiff, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Jay, because the two that he was under, after you just beat Alabama in the championship game, you jump above them. He's going in the first round.
He's shown that he can put up 400-yard passing against the Alabama defense back-to-back.
That part, right there. And he showed his composure in a tough situation. Like, you in a national championship, you down against Alabama, and you are leading your team down to win the game. Like, he showed a lot of maturity and growth in that game. From how he was looking in the first quarter to the end, he showed growth. And heck yeah, he's going in the first round.
They will.
All sounds good. It all sounds great. But when you break... Hey, what Jay-Z say? But the real things you get when you bust down my lines, when you bust down or evaluate Deshaun Watson, he's not a first-round pick.
You're right. Our quarterback is going to be taken in the first round.
He's going to be above the two that were ranked above.
No, Mitch Trubisky will be taken ahead of him, and Deshaun Kizer will be taken ahead of him.
He is flawed, and they all are flawed.
Every quarterback that comes into the league is flawed.
I don't think any of those are first-round picks. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't get me wrong. I don't think any of those are first-round picks. But the thing about when you look at him, I think he is a great college player. You want to compare him to a Vince Young. That's who everybody puts him in the mold of. And he may be able to spin it better than Vince. But when you equate his game to what he does to be effective to the NFL level, it just doesn't equate. He needs his feet to be successful. You don't need your feet to be successful in the NFL. All right. Now, it's a different dynamic if you can change it, but that is not what's going to make him. That's what makes him great. The same argument we have with the kid out of Louisville, Lamar Jackson, is the same argument we have with Deshaun Watson. Both of them can spin it, but for them to be dynamic and to be great, they need their feet. And then on the next level, if they need their feet to be dynamic, they're going to have trouble. Now, if their feet is an extra element that makes them great, is a totally different story.
But for me, my thing is, okay, the skill set might not be completely there yet, but the most important things for me, the mental fortitude, the poise that he showed to come back in his second year in the championship and win it, those are things that translate to the next level.
Exactly.
Moxie. In my opinion.
Winning attitude.
Yeah, exactly. Winning
moxie.
Attitude. Yeah.
I give him that. But moxie doesn't equate to physical ability. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, we see Tim what you're Tebow saying, is, we just don't agree with it.
Listen, Tim Tebow.
That's all I'm saying.
Tim Tebow is the number one moxie person in the world. But his skills didn't equate. Don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing Deshaun Watson to Tim Tebow. But his skills didn't equate to the next level. I'm just saying the
well,
same.
Well, let me ask you this. What about if the right situation presented itself as Dak Prescott?
That
because
part.
Remember, Dak didn't throw the ball.
That part.
We didn't know.
He ran the Tim Tebow offense.
He ran the Tim Tebow offense.
Come on now, speak on it.
We didn't know what was going to happen as far as no one had no expectations.
No,
for Dak.
No.
And stop it. Stop it. No one had. Say that again.
No one had no expectations for
what
Dak.
Do you have for Deshaun Watson when he goes into the NFL?
If he's selected as the third quarterback, the expectations won't be there, in my opinion.
He'll still be a second rounder. If you're a second, that's Kirk Cousins.
Right.
You have expectations.
Right.
Dak Prescott was a fourth rounder. He had no expectations. So that changes the whole dynamic of their two careers. When he steps onto into an organization, not a campus, when he steps into an organization, he's going to be expected to be the starting quarterback at some point of that team. Not at one point did Dak Prescott ever step in that organization. Even after he had to play, did you think he was going to ever be the starting quarterback?
Mark Sanchez was supposed to start ahead.
Thank you. So that changes. So you can't compare Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson because Deshaun Watson's going in thinking and knowing he has to play.
Okay, well now I get that. That's great, great point. But I guess what I was talking about is how he changed the way we thought he would look from college.
No, I agree with that.
That's you see what I'm saying?
I knew what you were saying.
It would have to be the right situation. Have to be the right situation. If he comes in expecting to be the day one starter, I think he'll struggle.
If he comes in and
he's the backup
right
behind someone who, like, for a year or two,
mm-hmm.
maybe that might help. If he's like,
he
I hear
will.
A lot
That's
about
how he
Kansas
is going to come
City,
in. He's going to come
Kansas
in and be a, but he's not going to start right away. He needs some grooming.
If I'm going to tell you like this,
if he's taken in, the early part of the second round, he's going to be expected to start because that's still going to be the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, no. Please don't send him to Cleveland.
No, I'm just saying. If he's left in the second round, Cleveland's going to take him with the first pick in the second round. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and that's where he's projected to go. So he's still going to be going to a situation, to a team, where he's expected to be a starting quarterback because if they're taking him in the second round, they obviously didn't take a quarterback with their first pick in the first round. Right. You see what I'm saying? So he's not going to get that great situation that Dak Prescott
What if he goes to a decent offensive line. And we preface this by saying the right situation. I could even see Dallas even letting Romo go and picking up Watson.
That's too young.
They can't do that.
That's too
young. They can't do that.
Because if Dak goes down, you're still in it.
Does Dak really look young, though?
He don't look young, but he
you know
is,
what I mean?
Though.
Yeah,
but he is.
Hey, we got one thing called a sophomore slump.
Yeah, yeah. There you
and
go.
And we got to wait till next year.
Yeah,
right.
We
got to
hold
right.
on now. Right. It's only his first season.
It's
hold
only
on.
His first one. They don't have no tape.
No, you're hold right. on.
Okay,
then. You know what happened to Kaepernick.
Yeah. Ooh.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh. You got that check, though.
You got that check.
So did. So did.
You got it.
You got that check.
All right, so. We so often talk about the players and what they're doing, the mock draft. I know the NFL was slobbing over this national championship game because so many you know, players that were actually in the game. And I even think on flipping it over to the Clemson side, if number 99 didn't get hurt, the defensive tackle, I can't even remember his name. If he didn't get hurt, it could have been wrecking Mo Hadley.
Isn't he a freshman? I think he's sophomore.
Yeah.
I know G getting that up for us. Yeah. But, hey, listen. You know who else? Jonathan Allen was blanked.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Blanked. Did his stock go down?
No, he's still going to be the number one and number two pick.
Farrell for Clemson. He is a freshman.
Yeah.
He is a freshman?
I told you. Yeah, he's a true freshman.
Oh, my God.
They replace him.
All right. So, where do you rate Dabo Swinney now?
Hey, listen. I'm going to go first, y'all. Listen, my boy Nick got about 5-7 left. When Nick go, Dabo! Dabo!
But, hey, ran on the recruit trail.
Hey, what BYOG, baby. Bring your own guts.
Go ahead.
Look, as far as Dabo goes, I mean, being a Florida State fan, Vince Dooley got one.
Wow. You ain't go Tennessee or Georgia on this deal.
Yeah, he did. He did. That's hilarious.
Jace Moore, what you think about Dabo?
I think it puts him among the elite coaches. I can't rank him ahead of Saban, obviously, or Urban Meyer, and maybe another one or two, but he has the ring. I mean, you can't take it from him. So in my mind, he's among the elite right now.
Dabo, I said it in an update. First coach to beat Urban Meyer and Nick Saban back-to-back. Clemson, they beat like the last six or seven national championships this season. So, yeah. I mean, point blank right there. Dabo, elite. He's up there with all of them. He's a man. Come on, man. I ain't taking
nothing. He's top five. I'll give him top five.
He's going to get a raise.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You just beat. You got to the national championship two times in a row, and you just beat Alabama, who nobody thought you was about to beat. Like, yeah, you getting a raise. You getting whatever you want right now, Dabo. You the man.
He has to get a raise because they have to make it hard for him not to go to Alabama, which that's down the line. But chances are he's going to end up in Bama.
Someone's going to take Saban
every year. Yeah. Just from, like, the rumors of Saban might go somewhere, even though he might not.
Oh, Saban would never. When Saban leaves Alabama, he's going home.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not going.
All right, let's get a quick email bag question. The Jew mentioned in the sports update that Jabril Peppers is going pro. On the mock draft, they got him listed as a linebacker/safety, which is going to be his best position, regardless of team. Where can he be best used? D-Will, we'll go with you first.
Currently constructed, I would say safety. But my thought process is they must see something in his body where he can put on a lot of extra weight. Okay? Because if they're listing him as a linebacker/safety, that's meaning
Thomas, I understand. Thomas Davis?
Thomas Davis small. What are you, 220, 225?
It might be like a hybrid for the Cardinals, Deion Buchanan kind of player,
or in more in the mold of a Cam Chancellor. Because my thing is,
can he get Cam Chancellor size?
I don't think so. That's my point.
I don't think he can get that big.
I don't see that in his frame.
How big is
5'9"?
He can't get as big as Chancellor, D. Not at all.
That's what I'm saying. Chancellor's like 6'2".
He's exactly. Stocky too. He can't get that stocky. I don't even.
But I'm saying his frame won't be able to carry that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He can't stock that weight on him like Chancellor can.
And I guess the question would basically break down: would it be better closer to the line of scrimmage? Or further away.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this.
He needs time to adjust and get
at
ready.
The safety position, it doesn't matter.
It can't come at him fast.
Who is it? I love Vic Beasley. He had a great season. But the NFL Defensive Player of the Year this year will be former Bama player Landon Collins. Okay?
Oh, really?
And Landon, if he can go and be that type of player, you see what I'm saying? Like the safety that plays in coverage that can also go up to the lineman scrimmage and – because if you watch that game against Green Bay, I know we ain't getting to the NFL yet, but if you watch that game against Green Bay, Landon Collins was filling holes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Peppers is listed at 6'1", 207.
Yeah, he's small.
See, I was giving him 215. Yeah.
He's he that now?
If he get up small, I don't even think he's big enough to play safety.
Oh, if they got him listed at that, he's not.
I was going to say, he ain't even that.
Bruh, like, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to put on a couple. I'm 204 right now. He 207?
Really? Well, then you can play too. Listen,
on paper, I'm going to tell you I'm 6'2 and a half. But I'm 6'1 3/4, 6'2, 204. He's 6'1, 207.
He might need to be a free safety.
Yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He needs time to adjust back. He got to get it.
Bob Sanders?
No, huh? The measurables, well, they sound 5'8". Kind of similar to...
Bob Sanders was small.
He was little,
How big is Eric Berry? Is Eric Berry, what, 6'3"?
I don't think he's that tall. Yeah, I think he's like 6'1".
So him and Eric Berry probably have a similar build.
Yeah.
Probably so...
That's what I'm saying. So I don't see him having the linebacker mantra, the actual tag of an LB.
They got him listed as a linebacker.
How big is Deion Jones? He's not big.
Yeah, he's small too.
Deion Jones is a small linebacker. Yeah. He plays that position well.
He is fast though.
That he is, and so is Jabril. Yeah. But I don't think he has. I think Deion Jones' frame is bigger than Peppers.
I think Peppers needs to be where he can get the ball and go.
You think he needs to be on the other side?
I think he needs to be playing safe so he can grab the ball and go.
Yeah.
Making stops and hitting people. I'm not too
like
sure
I said, you
about
can bring
that.
Your safety up in the box and let because him be a thumper.
He can get it out of the air and go the other way with it.
Let me ask you
this.
Absolutely. Have we seen Jabril Peppers be a thumper?
No.
Sack for loss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't see him blow anybody up.
That's why I said he needed to play far away.
He's more like flying around the ball.
Yeah, that's why I was like, he needed to play far away so he had time to adjust.
So that linebacker mantra, I really don't see him being able to do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the first half of the show. Thanks for tuning in. Want to give us a call? 404-603-8770. About to get to a sports update. And when we get back, got that water cooler report. Keep it locked. J Smooth, Six Man is in the building. SRT, you already know.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your sports update with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. NBA news for you. Last week I told you about, I believe it was last week or the week before last, I told you about Ice Cube's new big 3-on-3 league for retired NBA players. And we have a new retired player who has joined the league, and that is Allen Iverson.
Oh!
Yeah. Hope they don't have to practice.
Yeah, so, yes. Yeah, AI didn't join, D. Yeah.
AI didn't join?
So we got Jay Will. We got AI.
Oh, this is legit.
Yeah, so, yeah, and if you want to know who else is going to be on there, you can catch our archive shows on hm3inc.com. Also, other NBA news for you. Prayers up for Cavs player J.R. Smith and his wife. Yes, they just welcomed a baby girl into the world, but she was 5 months early and she only weighs 1 pound. So they are going through a very difficult time right now. So prayers up to them. NFL news for you. Steelers assistant coach Joey Porter has been in his second season as OLB's coach, and he's arrested Sunday night outside a Pittsburgh bar, hours after the team's win over Miami. Police officers were called over from a nearby restaurant due to an unruly customer who was in the process of assaulting a doorman. The officer stopped the assault and arrested the customer, who was later identified as Porter. He was taken to county jail and was charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, resisting arrest, public drunkenness, and disorderly conduct. The Steelers have placed him on leave. Porter has had multiple run-ins with the law in the past, including being arrested in 2010 for suspicion of drunk driving and accusation of assaulting police officers and resisting arrest. Mike Tomlin said that there is no timetable for his return and that to be involved in the NFL is a privilege, not a right. Other NFL news for you, Tom Coughlin, former Giants head coach, got him a new job. The Jaguars have brought him in to oversee football operations as the executive vice president. He does have the highest win percentage and is the only head coach with a winning record for the Jaguars team, and he will have total control over the team.
So, and didn't they just hire a new coach?
Yeah.
Doug Maroney.
Yeah, that was going to be in the next update. But you know what? That's a wrap on your sports update with the Jewel of Sports. Catch the Sports Roundtable every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on WWE AM 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on WWE 1100 AM. You are listening to AM 1100, Atlanta's Sports and Entertainment Radio Network.
a service of Beasley Broadcast Group. Take us with you wherever you go. Download TuneIn or iHeartRadio on your mobile device. WWE Hapeville.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
ADT presents What to Consider When Considering Home Security. An ADT sign is more than a sign. It's a line in the sand. On one side, your family. On the other, an uncertain world.
For over 140 years, more people have chosen ADT to help prevent crime than anyone else. Get ADT starting at just $28.99 a month.
Tested, trusted, proven ADT.
With 36-month contract for licensing and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Hey, H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 a.m.
That right?
And we got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog pick Stephen Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine, know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. SRT is in the building. H.O., the jewel of sports. Jay Smooth is with us. D-Will, the coach. And, of course, G-Money behind the glass dropping them beats. Thanks for tuning in for the second hour of the show. First hour, we got down with the breakdown of the championship game. Was it the best championship game you ever saw? We'll actually get back more into that, but right now, we got to jump straight into the break room, and we need to find out what they're talking about at the water cooler.
I don't know about you, but I'm a bit parched. Let's see what they're talking about at the water cooler.
What up, what up? Welcome to the Water Cooler Report with the Jewel of Sports. This Water Cooler Report is sponsored by Blunt Power. Get the best car air fresheners around town with Blunt Power. Three sprays last for days. Go to www.bluntpower.com for all of your favorite flavors.
Actually, I got some of that coming in.
That's what's up. I need to give me some.
I got you.
Y'all know I like to spend my time at the water cooler. I like to drink a lot of water and start up trouble. So this week at the water cooler, you know, everybody is all about technology right now, how you can wear it and personalize it to yourself. So CES is a global consumer electronics and consumer technology trade show that takes place every January in Las Vegas, Nevada. There are five wearables that have people going crazy right now that are getting ready to come out this year. The first one is called a Jimmyo Band, which is a customizable bracelet with a variety of bright LED lighting effects that lets you connect with other users and send them secret messages. It also offers a way for brands and entertainers to connect to their fans and customers. For example, D-Will went to the Beyonce concert last month. If Beyonce and everybody had these bracelets, she could have sent out a special, unique light pattern to everybody's bracelet that could only glow up at her show.
Wow.
Yeah, and so after that one, they have another one that's going to follow up that's going to be an emoji bracelet where you can send emojis to each other. So that's one of them. The second wearable is something called Proof. It looks like your standard fitness tracker band and app, but Proof is actually keeping tabs on how drunk you are. More precisely, the band uses a special sensor that the company says is able to track the wearer's blood alcohol level.
Wow.
The accompanying app tracks your current
blood alcohol content, and also predicts what your levels will be in the future. You can even set custom alerts to let you know when you reach a certain level. And proof will cost between $100 and $150 and will be available later this year.
They'll sell out.
Wow. People will need that.
They'll sell out if they sell them in front of Greater Hospital.
Oh!
Oh, that's good. The next wearable is called a bracelet. As the name suggests, a bracelet is meant to help you really feel the music you are listening to. It connects to your phone and will vibrate in tune with the music playing, kind of like a wearable subwoofer. That will come out this year and it'll cost you
$200.
$200? That's a waste of time.
Yeah, it is. I thought so too, but they talking about that one.
Wow.
All right, the Power Watch aims to solve one of the most annoying parts of gadgets and wearables, which is the poor battery life. With the Power Watch, it generates power from your body heat. It comes with its own app, which tracks how much heat you create. It's also a fitness tracker.
Mine'll stay full.
Mine will stay 100%. I'm kind of scared of that. It sounds like that one might blow up.
And the other wearables that got people raving, Under Armour is releasing a new line called Recovery Sleepwear. The clothes are made of special material that takes advantage of something called bioceramics, which the company says help improve blood flow and reduce inflammation in athletes so they sleep better and recover faster. Shorts and t-shirts start at $80, and pants and long-sleeve shirts start at $100. Tom Brady sleeps in it and helped develop it, and of course, there's an app with that. So, if you want to get you some pajamas that can help you recover and sleep good, Under Armour is your people for that.
They got an app for that.
They got an app for your pajamas, too.
Wow.
So
we need to send Under Armour a sponsorship letter.
Right.
Because every week.
I got something about
that. No, because they might send us some of them Steph Curry's.
No, please.
Well, at least we get some free shoes.
I don't want them.
No.
You want no free orthopedic shoes?
No, I only know
orthos. Orthopedic shoes.
What about Cam Newton?
Worst basketball shoes.
Cam Newton cleats?
You know.
He went to Auburn.
He ain't wearing none of them.
No. You just can't win with you, man.
Not at all.
All right, our next story at the water cooler. Speaking of apps, Turner Sports has launched a new app called Catch Sports App to enhance fan viewing experience. Fan is short for fanatic, so fans are always looking to get closer to the teams they love. The app will help fans navigate live event coverage among different platforms and channels. They're covering the majority of sports content, NBA, NFL, NASCAR, golf, college football, among other sports and leagues. So if you want to get closer with Turner Sports, get that Catch Sports app. The last story we talked about at the water cooler, a new football league has been founded. It's called Pacific Pro Football League. They intend to begin play in the winter of 2018. This league is basically a development program for players who graduated high school but aren't currently playing in college. It is expected to feature four teams playing under professional rules. Former NFL wide receiver Ed McCaffrey, as well as Tom Brady's agent Don Yee, are among the founders. The average salary will be around $50,000 with 50 players on each roster. They're making money. The players have to be 4 years or fewer removed from high school in order to play. Any player who signs a Pac-Pro contract will immediately become ineligible to play traditional college football. So if you sign up for this, no college football for you. You got to play this and then try to go to the NFL afterwards.
You've been out of high school 4 years. Yeah. You don't need to play anyway.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. They're making more than the college players.
They are.
Yeah.
Well.
But they still have to go to college for 4 years, right? Yeah. But they still have
to. They don't have to go to college.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't have to go to college. This league is basically, if they don't get into college, if they don't get a college scholarship or don't want a college scholarship and just want to get, like, to play under professional rules and get, to, like, to feel what, like, to play a training for NFL, they can play under this league for 4 years and then go try for an NFL team if they want to.
So let me.
So you can go straight from high school.
You can go in this league. You got to be in this league. You can't just, like, go try for this without being in this league.
So here's the thing. This league is basically going to be for the kid
who don't want to go to school.
No. You know who it's finna. It's going to be for them. And you know what else it's finna do?
What's that?
It's about to smash lower division college football.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a kid who can go play D3 football on a partial scholarship can go to this football league and make $50,000 at 18, 19 years old.
I'm gone.
It's over.
Uh-huh, I'm gone.
There's going to be no more D2, D3 sports.
Mm-hmm. Mike Shanahan serves on the new board of this, on this new league's advisory board.
Oh, my God.
And is convinced that it will better prepare athletes for what they're experiencing in terms of pro schemes because getting the right training out of high school is crucial.
That's going to hurt NCAA Division I football
right,
with this.
So, hold on. Yeah. So, this is my question then. So, the NFL can possibly have a draft
for this league.
From this league.
Absolutely.
Oh, so they can have a supplemental out of this
league. Yeah, it's the, this.
That's a D league.
Yeah, that's what they're about to turn this into. That's because with Mike Shanahan behind it, that's what they're going to turn into. Because right now, it's only this creation. So they're going to have like four teams. And, you know, they're going to see how it's going to work with these four teams at first. Because, you know, they got to, you're going to have to pay coaches and all
and
that.
And each player's going to get 50 grand?
Yeah, that's that's gonna fluctuate. That's the average. It could go. You could go lower.
Yeah,
than
I'm saying it's gonna be like you might have a 4-star quarterback that decided not to go to college.
Right.
That he's gonna go play. Now I got a good question for this: is the NFL still gonna uphold 3 years removed from high school? Because it's not 3 years of college. Right. It's 3 years removed from high school.
We're gonna have to find out
before you go to the NFL.
We're gonna have to find out. Okay.
I don't see why they would. Why they would like change that? They're probably going to keep it how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because now this is a more free, well, in a way, free like a minor league that they don't have to deal with.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Thought y'all might want to hear about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about this.
Yeah, that needs an extra service. Like that, they need to take that from the water cooler to the barbershop.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk about that.
Well, you know what? That's a wrap on your Water Cooler Report with the Jewel of Sports. This Water Cooler Report has been sponsored by Blunt Power. Get the best car air fresheners around town with Blunt Power. Three sprays last for days. Go to www.bluntpower.com for all of your favorite flavors.
You know, Blunt Power got incense now. Car incense.
Oh, my God.
Car incense?
Car incense?
Work?
What?
Right. You know what it is for, right? It keeps your car smelling good. And when you're riding down the street on 85 South going home.
In traffic.
And they see all this smoke barreling in your car and you get pulled over, you be like, oh, officer, that was just my incense.
There you go.
That's a good way to put it.
Oh, my goodness.
That was just my incense.
So it's a built-in excuse.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's just my incense.
All right, man. So Saturday, 4:25, you got Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks coming to town, coming to the Georgia Dome, possibly for the last game at the Georgia Dome. And we have somebody on the phone that always gives us the Falcons report. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, my main man from the Falconholic, D.W.
And now Coleman inside the 30, and he will take it the distance for a touchdown. What a difference one single play can make.
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
David D.W. Walker on the SRT Hotline. How you doing today, sir?
How's it going?
Everything good. Anybody want to follow David and have some Twitter wars with him about Matt Ryan winning MVP? Please, D.W., let them know where they can follow you at so y'all can get in the Twitter war.
I don't know if I want that in my life anymore, but you can find me at Falcoholic DW.
Hey, man, listen, you and Gina with the Twitter stuff, boy, sometimes it's a 30-minute comedy because of some of the stuff that y'all have to go through. It is absolutely hilarious, I tell you. All right, so 4:25 this Saturday, Seattle comes to town, and obviously my first question is, are we completely healthy?
For the guys that are not on injured reserve, the good news is every single player was a full participant in practice today. No limitations. Everyone's healthy.
Nice.
Wow. My second question is, how did the bye week help us?
Well, I think to your last question, that was one of the biggest issues. We had several guys that were, you know, out of the Saints game for the last game of the season, like Taylor Gabriel, Austin Hooper. You know, even Julio Jones wasn't quite back to 100%. All of those guys are fully healthy. And I think that extra bye week, just it gives you a little bit more time to plan. And it gives you time to, you know, scope out your opponent ahead of time that they don't necessarily have.
Okay. All right, in your opinion, who is the one Falcon key player to watch for Seattle and the rest of the playoffs moving forward?
Well, I tell you what, I think it's It's going to come down to the supporting cast. I think teams are going to do what they've always done and try to shut down Julio. And they're, you know, different defenses have had some success with that. I think it's going to be the names like Taylor Gabriel. It's going to be Mohamed Sanu and guys like Aldrick Robinson. Honestly, my money is on Gabriel just because he has home run speed, and having him healthy again, he's someone to keep an eye out on.
Gotcha. All right, so this is Shanahan had a chance to go into the lab, and Atlanta played Seattle in Seattle early part of the season. And from what I hear, he didn't really go into the lab and cook up something that was very, very explosive due to the fact that it was so hard to hear. Now that Seattle comes to Atlanta, he goes back to the lab. What are you expecting Shanahan to cook up in the lab and explosive this week?
Well, you know, the other factor is Seattle is missing their one of their defensive stalwarts in Earl Thomas, and not having him in the secondary has hurt. Before Earl Thomas was injured, they had the fifth best passing defense in the league. Since he's been injured, they've been 26th. Ooh. So they've gotten considerably worse. And I think Shanahan's going to look to exploit that. I think, you know, like you said, with it being at home, I think he's going to take advantage of the full roster of guys that he's got. Don't be surprised to see deep shots to guys like Gabriel, Robinson, even Hardy. So I think this could be a fun matchup, and I think we're going to see some plays we've never seen before.
Wow, that's great.
What's happening, DW, man? It's D-Will, the coach, man. And I got two of them for you right now. If you can name one single important factor that will lead to a Falcons win on Saturday, what would you say that would be?
Keep Matt Ryan clean. And I think that is simply because if you give him time in the pocket, he'll find the open receiver. And he's done that all season. The games where he has struggled the most has been when he's been pressured. And the first game where that happened was against Seattle, when Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill were able to disrupt the pocket in that first half, and they made the Falcons look pretty sad. So if you can keep Matt Ryan clean for most of the day, that is going to get you a long way towards a win.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Now the second question, I'm a preference by telling you, I'm a Bama fan. All right? So with me being a Bama fan, I know I took a bad loss this Monday night, but with me being a Bama fan, I'm able to look ahead because I'm always winning. All right? So, and I'm feeling extremely comfortable about the game Saturday versus Seattle. All right? So, just looking forward a little bit, who would you rather play and who you think will be a better matchup? The Cowboys on the road, or if Green Bay wins, a red-hot Aaron Rodgers coming into the Georgia Dome?
I tell you what, I still have flashbacks to 2010 with Aaron Rodgers coming into the Georgia Dome and destroying our dreams. But if I were to pick between the two, honestly, I would prefer to go to Dallas, believe it or not. I think, you know, our offense can score on either of those defenses. Neither Green Bay nor Dallas has a really great defense, and I think the Falcons can, you know, continue to dominate offensively. I think it comes down to which team can we stop defensively. And right now, with the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, if he wins in Green Bay, I would feel very, very nervous about our ability to slow him down.
Sounds good.
Hey, DW, it's the Jewel of Sports. How are you?
I'm good.
My question for you is, Seattle's running back, Rawls, ran all over Detroit, gave himself and his entire team a lot of confidence. Have the Falcons, are they working, putting in some work on stopping him?
I think so. I think that if you look at what they did way back when they played the Arizona Cardinals and they went against David Johnson, they made David Johnson really fight for his yards on the ground. And I think they're intent on doing the same. I think they would love to put this game in the hands of Russell Wilson's arm and force that offensive line to have to give him a pocket to pass out of. So I think you'll see the Falcons double down on trying to slow down their running game and making Seattle pass first.
Good. That would be the perfect thing for them to do.
ADW, the loss of Trufant for the Falcons, how much do you think that that will affect the secondary if we do put Russell Wilson in a position where he has to pass?
Well, the crazy thing is since Trufant has gone down with injury, Jalen Collins has really stepped up and has, you know, played very well in that role. And, you know, give credit where it's due. Robert Alford has basically eliminated the troubling penalties and has played much, much better. So, you know, I actually think if you look at the wide receivers for the Seahawks, we match up pretty well. The only one that causes concern at this point is Doug Baldwin. And I think that if you match Alford up on him speed for speed, you've got a good chance of shutting down their wide receivers in this game.
Okay. And DW, this is the coach again. And just to piggyback off that question, what do you think is best for the Falcons on Saturday? For them to be able to stop – let me put it like this. Seattle only put up 5 points on the road against Tampa Bay. Do you think they will be able to come into Atlanta and be able to score with how we know they've been struggling on the road on offense away from the 12th man in Seattle?
I think our defense can do its job. And I think that, you know, to your point, they've struggled on the road. I think the one thing you saw Tampa Bay do that, you know, had a lot of success is they disrupted that pocket. And I think the combination of Dwight Freeney, Adrian Claiborne, and all-pro pass-rushing leader of the season, Vic Beasley, can have a heck of a, you know, a time disrupting Russell Wilson in that pocket. So, yeah, a lot of people are saying this is going to be a close game, and I think it should be, you know, probably we will be a close game, but it would not surprise me to see the Falcons' defense really surprise a lot of people on Saturday.
Now, DW, was that a shot at all the Vic Beasley questions I asked you this year? Because I kind of took that as a slow, methodical shot.
It was a little bit of a shot.
Just
you know,
a
the guy
bit.
Is a second year. He is a first team All Pro, so I think it's hard to argue with the numbers. It's hard to argue with the success.
Yes, sir.
All right, DW. This is G. Now, the last time these two played each other, well, not the regular season, but the last playoff game, where Atlanta was able to win, but Seattle made a comeback. I think maybe the traveling from west to east may have had an effect. What do you think is like the key thing that Atlanta would have to do to avoid like Seattle actually like waking up, you know, being on their regular body clock and actually maybe being able to make a run in the second half, even if Atlanta jumps out to a big lead? How can they avoid that kind of letdown?
Well, two words, killer instinct. It's the one thing I think that separates Dan Quinn from former head coach Mike Smith. Mike Smith was notorious for going conservative in the second half, trying to protect the ball, trying to milk the clock. I think the Falcons need to stay away from that. I think they keep the pedal to the metal, put as many points on the board as possible, and just force Seattle to constantly play from behind. Don't give them any chances to come back into the game. Literally dominate this game from the first quarter until the whistle blows at the end of the fourth quarter.
All right, DW, we got news that Denver hired a coach and the Rams couldn't get an interview with Shanahan. So my question would be, what are the chances of Shanahan staying here in Atlanta for the next season?
Well, the Denver job was definitely one of the most attractive. I think L.A. would probably be second on that list, and like you said, he didn't get to interview with them. It looks like L.A. is starting to move in a different direction now, so I think there's actually a pretty good chance that Shanahan is going to be here in 2017. Keep in mind, you know, Gina has mentioned this before on the website. He and his family are actually very happy in Atlanta. He loves working with Coach Quinn, so he's not going to jump for just any opportunity. I think there's a good chance he stays.
Gotcha. All right. So are we working on Eric Berry? Have you made some phone calls yet? Have you talked to Scott Pioli? things of that nature. I mean, we're trying to get the best secondary probably in the history of football. So let's keep working on that. But my last thing, you know how we do. Give me your prediction for the game for Saturday.
All right. Well, I honestly, I think this is a great matchup for the Falcons. It feels very strange to be optimistic about the Falcons in the playoffs, but I am. I think this is a different team. I think Dan Quinn has brought in the kind of mentality that leads to championships. And we're not going to go that far yet, but I do think the Falcons get past the divisional round and they go to the NFC Championship game. I'm saying Falcons 31, Seahawks 21, and we move on to the NFC Championship.
Nice. Now, DW, now that you gave us your prediction on the Atlanta game, 31-21, where do you see us playing it in the NFC? So how do you see the Green Bay-Dallas game turning out?
Well, that's a great question. I'm actually going to go with the Cowboys here. I think Aaron Rodgers is on fire, but the big factor here is it doesn't look like Jordy Nelson's going to be healthy enough to play. He is, you know, a big factor in the game for them, and I think Dallas's offense is going to be, you know, fired up. No one is talking about Dallas. They're disrespecting Dallas, and I think they're going to wear a chip on their shoulder, and I think they edge out the victory against the Packers.
DW, as a Cowboys fan, you've made the right call.
Oh, my God. DW, let's do it again soon, man. Hopefully you'll be giving a prediction for the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. So keep us close. Let's keep this thing going. And tell our listeners where they can find you on Twitter and any other social media and where they can find your podcast.
Excellent. Yes, you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. My normal round of articles will land at www.thefalcoholic.com. And, of course, you can find us on the Falcoholic Podcast, which lands every Wednesday.
Good deal, DW. Thanks again, and let's rise up.
Rise up. Thanks, guys.
All right. DW. Hey, once again, the Falcon Report, DW from the Falcoholic, man, and say 31-21, the Falcons win.
We'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take that. And with that being said, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the second hour of our roundtable discussion. Keep it locked.
This is the college football champion of the world, D-Will, the coach, and you're listening to the Sports Roundtable right here on WWE 1100 AM. Champion!
Health Hotline. If you have severe knee or back pain and you have Medicare or private insurance, we have great news. Finally, there's a way to reduce your pain without surgery or taking medications. Call us today and learn how you can qualify to get a pain-relieving knee or back brace at little or no cost to you. We'll even ship your brace for free. If you have excruciating knee or back pain and you have Medicare or private insurance, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving, nearly invisible knee or back brace at little or no cost to you. I've used one. They're comfortable and they work, and we guarantee your happiness. So call right now and get yours. I promise. We're here to take your call. Thank you.
Call 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. That's 800-430-9571.
Welcome back. Have a seat at the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100.
Here's your SRT Roundtable discussion.
Sports Roundtable back, SRT crew back in the building. Jay Smooth filling in for Hancock, the sixth man of the year. Got the jewel of sports, D. Will, the coach. And we had to talk him off the ledge during the break because he was still talking about that Bama game. And I mean, look, it is what it is, you know, because at the end of the day, they predicted to win, go to the championship again next year.
Yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah, we're 7-1 odds. Number one in the nation. Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
They'll be
with
there
that.
Every year. Yeah. As long as Nick Saban's the coach.
D-Will, you know who y'all play first next season, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Hancock said you got to put some fruit cups on that.
We're going to put fruit cups on it, and me and G going to put a manly bet on it.
Okay.
Like some head shaving type stuff going down.
Oh, wow. G shaving. Wow. Ooh, I can't. Ooh, G ain't shaving his head.
Nah, he ain't got to shave it. We're going to put a little design. Maybe an Alabama A.
Put an A. Ooh, put an A in the back of G head. That'd be dope. Or at the top of that. But the top of all right. that.
We can do that right now. Alabama logo.
I do. You do and, Alabama.
And you do FSU.
And I'll do FSU.
Oh, I can't wait to see
wow.
that.
Wow.
It's going down.
It's going down.
First, we opening up Mercedes-Benz. Somebody's getting a haircut.
Yeah. Let's wow. do it. I love it. Yes.
No bar now. No, nothing's on the bar. This is on the air. This is live. This is yeah. set in stone.
It's set. Oh, yeah. I'm holding y'all to that one.
Yes, sir.
Come on now.
Well, that's going to be awesome.
Let's make it happen.
I can't renege because you a big dude.
Right. She's a big dude. He'll come after you.
This will be archived, too.
So yeah, exactly.
No one will forget.
All right. So the NFL playoffs this week. There's no sense in mentioning Houston and New England.
Please don't. It ain't that. Like, is anybody going to watch that game besides the Patriots fans?
Don't do Houston going? Like Brock yeah. Osweiler.
Boy, stop.
Brick Osweiler.
Brick Osweiler. Brick.
He don't shoot nothing but brick.
How much does he make?
$72 million.
Wow.
Man, make my stomach turn.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. All right, wow. So Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Kansas City is great at home.
Because Andy Reid is that coach.
Yeah, he that guy. He a big dude, too. Mm-hmm. But Kansas City is hard to beat. Mm-hmm. But the 3Bs showed you last week that with all three of them together, they hard to beat as well.
Oh, yeah, that was their first playoff game together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think they're looking at that game against the Titans. Like, what did the Titans do to beat Kansas City
exactly.
at home?
Yeah.
They're probably studying that and trying to get something
let's
out.
Let's ask Jay Smooth.
Mr. Titan.
For me, it's simple. You run the ball. You do what you've done all year. I mean, you, according to him himself, he's the best back in the league. So mm-hmm. we need him to act like it on when they play Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they go in, they run the ball, I'm sure it's going to be cold. In Kansas City, I'm not sure exactly about the degree or, you know.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be cold.
Well, you know, the weather's changing this weekend. It's going to be like 75 degrees here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it might not be as cold.
So I don't think, right. I think the freeze was last weekend. So I think the weather's supposed to be a little bit more moderate.
What, as of right 22 now, degrees? It says 36 degrees at game time.
That's better than 12 that or 2.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah. And Ben did hurt his ankle on the last play of the game last
dumb.
Week. So
but
I'm concerned
that's
about
stuff
that.
Like that. That's why they call for Mike Tomlin's head.
Go at him.
Because
go.
He always goes for two when he don't need to. He calls dumb plays. Why is Ben throwing the ball when y'all already won the game? Like, that's why they call for his head, because of dumb stuff like that. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty concerned about that. And, you know, if Ben's hurt, that obviously affects what Antonio Brown does as well. So, mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell is your best bet.
I mean, and y'all talking about, like, this is the first time the big three, the 3Bs or whatever, was all together in the playoffs. Okay, well, you can't give them all the credit in the world playing against Miami.
Right.
I mean, like it was playing the Patriots or something. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But Miami beat them, though.
Exactly.
True, but they beat them.
With Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
And that D.C. was
and
obviously
were they
out
in
of the
Miami?
Door.
Will
yes.
they beat them?
Yeah, they
okay.
beat them.
Okay, so other
but
stuff factored
beat them,
into
though.
All that.
Still
a win.
A win is 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 a win, but how you kind of won, I factor into a lot of things in that
well,
win.
We can go back yeah. to the college, and I can factor in some stuff to make that loss we just had a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about – I'm talking about
everybody would have shut me down now.
An upcoming playoff game versus a yeah. regular season game is what I'm talking about.
And I agree. Shout out my big bro, man, Black Mike, checking in. He a huge Steelers fan. Huge Steelers fan.
Terrible
he already on here right now, checking in. Still a fan, checking in live. So, you know, but with the 3Bs being on the field at the same time, and Kansas City, and with them being so dynamic and being able to score points, and then the weather to be favorable, even though it will be outside in one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL, I don't believe that Kansas City is going to have the offensive power to keep up with Pittsburgh, all right? Because, like I say, it 75% of Ben throwing to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell is better than anything that Alex Smith can ever be.
Yeah. I mean, but it's Andy Reid's formula is what makes Kansas City Kansas City. Like Alex Smith, it's not no one sole thing that they do, because Alex Smith, they win games while Alex Smith throwing the touchdown pass.
Hey,
so
in the what? In the what? regular season. What has Andy Reid ever proven in the playoffs?
True, he loses in the playoffs.
His formula doesn't
work. One time.
And he had who?
Donovan McNabb.
No, stop. I should punch all y'all in the face.
Oh, yeah, T.O.
He had T.O.
He had a Hall of Famer
on
the field.
He has a T.O. now. Yeah, his name is Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's going to be a lot to expect.
G-mute your own mic. Hit the dump button on yourself.
Hey, I'm just trying to make conversation.
Listen, to Tiffany's point, to your point, Tiffany, we've all year tried to figure out how do Kansas City win.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
No one has come up with
Andy Reid got a magic wand
formula to how they actually win. So it'll probably be a better game than we expect it to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Kansas City is a reason why they're good at home. Mm-hmm. Maybe because the tailgate is full of barbecue and they do it great and all these other kind of things. But Tyreek Hill will be a big factor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On kickoffs. Mm-hmm. Punts, reverses, jet sweeps.
Because he doesn't catch a lot of passes.
Right.
Yeah. I had him on my fantasy team this year, and his last two games of the season, he had zero catches. But he was putting up 15 to 20 points a game.
Yep. Dang.
Off rushes, jet sweeps,
yes.
little flare backs. All those type of plays are what he was getting his yards off of. And that's how they utilize him. They utilize him more in the Ty Montgomery type of mold that Green Bay uses him. So he's not really a big pass-catching threat because, like I said, Kansas City doesn't push the ball down the field anyway.
How important does that make Travis Kelce?
He's going to be huge. Extremely. Yeah, he has to
tremendously
be
important.
He was on my fantasy team this year also.
He's off the chain,
yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's going to have a good game regardless. It's Travis Kelce. He balls out.
Yeah,
and he can dance.
Yeah.
He can?
Your boy can. Oh, y'all ain't see. Oh, he has like. Go check out his end zone dances. All the nay-nays and all that, he used to do all that.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce. Yeah.
He done swung through Bankhead a couple of times.
Yeah, he swung through Bankhead a couple of times.
All right, so let's get to the other game. We've already talked about the Falcons. Green Bay, Dallas. Listen, this is basically
it's going to be the game of the
youngins against the legend.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The youngins against the legend.
Did you just coin something?
He did. Like
and this
that.
Is what it, this is what it's gonna boil down to. If the youngins win, they may be in the next Allstate commercial. Who is he with?
State Farm.
Yeah. He might be in the next.
Yeah, they're gonna take his job.
They might be in the next State Farm commercial. I think this basically comes down to if Green Bay can stop the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't do nothing with Ezekiel Elliott.
They're not stopping him, y'all.
But the thing about it is, they secondary for Green Bay is awful.
Horrible. Worse than the NFL.
It's awful.
Yeah. That's
so if you stop Ezekiel, you might be putting yourself in the worst position.
And I totally agree with you, and here's what I think it boils down to, and the reason I'm giving Green Bay the nod. They know they can't stop Ezekiel Elliott. They know that for a fact. Like, Green Bay's going into this game understanding we hoping to maintain the run. We will not be able to stop it.
Right.
So if that is the case, what does this game boil down to?
The quarterbacks.
And who are you taking?
Aaron Rodgers.
So that's my whole –
Mr. Hail Mary.
I think the home field advantage in this game actually favors Aaron Rodgers more than it does Dak Prescott because – Aaron's playing inside.
Yep.
So now his receivers are faster. Yep. Now he has
he won't have Jordy Nelson.
Man, Cobb been balling out of control. I don't even think
Jordy. I think Jordy Nelson was overrated this year coming off the injury
because
his numbers are down.
Yes, they are.
Ty Montgomery is the X factor in that game. He's their deep threat.
Nelson had 97 catches.
He had a good and
over 1,200 yards.
And it's 97 catches, 1,200 yards. You do the averages, that's low. That's a lot of dinking and dunking.
For him, that's
a lot. Because he's their deep threat.
Right.
That's a lot of dinking and dunking. Yep. 97 on 12, I can do that math real quick. But 97 on 1,200 is not a lot. That's under 100. That's what, 80 yards a game?
Yeah.
70 yards a game?
It's almost 80.
So that's a lot of dinking and dunking.
Yeah. But I agree with G.
We need from Hidden
Figures. Oh, yeah, we need Hidden Figures in here.
She figured that out real quick. But go ahead, Jay.
I agree with G. And the reason I say that is we saw what happened last year when Jordy Nelson didn't play. Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, they couldn't get open.
Yeah, true.
All of last year. And now they're forced to play a role just like Sarkisian was forced to be OC when Lane left. They're forced to play a role that they're not normally accustomed to playing.
If they can't stop, if they're going to have a hard time stopping Dallas's running, and I think when they played each other in Green Bay, Dak made enough plays. He made a lot of plays, actually, in that game. So I think it may favor well, here's the thing. If it's hard for Green Bay to stop Dallas's offense, they would have to control the clock by running the ball, which they can't do because they don't have any running backs.
Yeah, I'm favoring Dallas in this because I just think just maybe a conspiracy theory.
I'm with you. I'm going with Dallas.
Yeah, it to me is beyond the football.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a Cowboys Patriots Super Bowl?
No. It's
I'm with you.
It's the business side of this.
I'm with you. I know exactly.
New stadium. The admirer of the person who got Jerry's World. You have to say Jerry versus Arthur Blank in the NFC Championship. That will create more storylines, the biggest business opportunities for anybody that's going forward. I just think that, in my opinion, conspiracy theory maybe.
I got another one. Now that you're saying that, I got another one. Because I agree with that. I agree. The NFL is more lucrative if Dallas is in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They're relevant.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that.
This is America's team.
Exactly. Think about this compelling part. Just think. Green Bay goes to Dallas and wins. Atlanta beats Seattle. The MVP award is given out the weekend before the Super Bowl.
Go ahead.
And you have the two top candidates for the MVP playing in the NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. What is more compelling TV?
Or then you got...
They don't want the money more.
Then you got... The reunion of maybe, and I'm not really speaking this, but I'm just saying, the Dallas and Pittsburgh reunites again in the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm going to tell you like this. Yeah. The last thing the NFL, the National Football, the Shield wants is Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Oh, right. Man, come on.
They do not want him in. Not this year.
I don't want him in there.
Not this year. Not after Spygate, a year off, going to the Bowl. Losing.
Yeah, we ain't trying to see him.
But this one I'm gonna predict. And
put it out there.
We gonna hurry up and move because we gotta get to the SRT fun bag. But Falcons, Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl to continue the black coach against the white coach.
Ooh.
And that's all I'm gonna say.
Ooh, that will be how many straight years?
Five or six, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Five or six. I think it's five.
Ooh, that was
five or six. Five or six.
Ooh, never thought about that.
Kaepernick is a brother, so you know, you gotta count him as
If Russell Wilson's a
brother too.
Only on Sports Round Table. Only on Sports Round Table.
We starting too much. We starting problems.
I know.
Like
hey, let's starting problems
hey,
right
man,
now.
Let's get to our last sports update. We coming back Facebook Live. SRT fun bag. Here we go, baby. Make sure y'all check in. We got numbers 1 to 10. SRT sports update. Here we go.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your final sports update of the night with the Jewel of Sports. NFL news for you. Buffalo Bills have hired their head coach. They gave a 5-year deal to Sean McDermott. He was the defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. The Denver Broncos have hired their next head coach, and he was the defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. His name is Vance Joseph. He got signed to a 4-year deal. He's a brother, and he said that the Broncos are rebooting, not rebuilding. Also, I need to give you some scores right now. We got some NBA games for you. The Memphis Grizzlies are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City is winning 70-62 in the third quarter with 2 minutes left. We got Houston and Minnesota in the third quarter. Minnesota is winning 77-69. There's 3 minutes left in that game. The New York Knicks, they lost by 1 point to the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. They lost 98-97. That's not cool at all. And we got two upcoming games for you, late games. We got the L.A. Clippers playing the Orlando Magic at 10:30, and we have the Portland Trail Blazers playing the Cleveland Cavaliers at 10:30 as well. Also, I got one more story for you that I wanted to get in here. James Harden. Shout out to him. He became the first player with 50 points, 15 assists, and 15 rebounds in a game. And wow. also, our boy from the Pelicans, Anthony Davis.
Got hurt again?
No, he actually became the first. How many minutes is it in an NBA game? Let him know.
48.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he became the first player in the shot clock era to get 40 points and 15 rebounds in less than 30 minutes.
Wow.
Like, that's.
He told Klay Thompson, this is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
40 and 15?
Yeah, in 30, less than 30 minutes.
I don't care. It still ain't the 50, 17, and 20, James Harden
put up. You ain't going to give him that credit with
James
that one,
James Harden still got the record for the year, man. All right, that's them crazy numbers, yo.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, you know what? That's a wrap on your final sports update of the night with the Jewel of Sports. Catch the Sports Roundtable every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on WWE AM 1100.
SRT Fun Bag, go. Go.
Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag.
I'm laughing already. I can't hear.
I love that. All right, Facebook Live, give me a number 1 to 10. And we go crank up this fun bag. And I'll read the question. You give me the number, I'll read the question, and we're going to answer the question. So, somebody, give me a number. You got a number yet?
3.
Favorite place to eat, no matter. No. Favorite place to eat, no one knows about.
No one.
I go first.
Go ahead.
The Big Easy.
Big Easy.
Oh, man. I got to rock with you on that one. Don't nobody know about the Big Easy.
Nobody
know about
I think that has to be unanimous.
Don't nobody know about the Big Easy. And them crab claws and stuff.
Crab claws, dog.
The Big Easy.
The Big Easy.
1193. Call your road.
Call your road.
He know the address.
Louisiana style.
Atlantic Station, baby.
Louisiana style.
If you go around the curve too fast, you might miss it.
Yes, you might miss it.
I promise you might miss it.
Yeah.
All right, so I got one.
You can park on the side of the street, too.
Okay, this is a good one. Number one. I see you, Ty. Your favorite Denzel movie? Go ahead.
Training Day.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Favorite Denzel movie?
Well, I'll take another one.
Oh, okay, go ahead then.
Mo' Better Blues. Bleak Gilliam.
What's the one when he was?
Hey, y'all gonna hate me. John Q.
Well, that was Hancock was gonna say too. There,
great movie.
Hancock was John Q. Said that too.
What's the one where he was blind the whole movie?
He was blind.
Damn, Denzel did a lot. I don't know that one.
Like, did I see that one? Hold on, he was blind the whole movie.
Oh, that's Richard Pryor.
He had to do the Braille.
The Book of Eli.
Book of Eli.
Book of Eli.
I forgot about that movie.
That might be his best body.
That has to be his best movie.
You got
dang.
Yeah. All right, I got number 9. Boys to Men, a New Edition.
New Edition.
Ooh. Oh, New Edition all day. That's not even close.
That's the Music Man right there, Louis.
It's not even close.
Talent for talent, you got to go New Edition. But I think Boys to Men had the bigger songs. Okay. They were a bigger.
They had ballads.
They did. They were huge. They're better vocally.
Yeah.
But
if I want somebody to sing my panties off, I'm going with Boys to Men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
but if I'm trying
to get my groove on, I'm going with New Edition.
All
so
day.
That's the difference.
But you can take piece by piece.
Stop. Did you get that? She said, if I want somebody to sing my panties off. I hope you got that. That has to be a drop whenever she talks.
I got
this. All right, last one of the night.
Ooh.
What do you or did you call your grandmother?
Granny.
Mine too. I called my grandma granny.
Well, yeah. Granny. I had one we called Granny. I had one I called Grandma. Don't you got two?
Yeah.
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 Maybe three if you got a stepmom.
Maybe five.
Yeah.
My grandmother's name is Ruby, and I was always fond of the actress Ruby D, so I would call her Ruby T at times.
Oh, that's
cute. I would get slapped in the mouth.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's cute.
IG.
Just grandma.
Yeah.
Just grandma.
Since I guess whoever asked that question wanted something unique, my wife calls their grandma Mama.
Mama, wow.
And my homegirl, Ebony, shout out my homie, Ebony Mannox, her son calls her mother Nene and her and his father's mother Nana.
Yeah. Okay. So, Nana is a good one. Granny.
Well, they call her my granddad Nana.
My nieces do call my mom, it's like Mau Mau or Mau Mau.
Oh,
Mama.
Like, wow.
It's like an extra W.
Are they old
there?
Enough to talk? Or they just, is that baby speak?
Well, when they were, they're like 18 now. But
and they still say it?
Mama?
Yeah.
I said, yeah.
They do.
Mama. He didn't want to stitch them out. He was like, yeah.
they do. I mean, I didn't mind it. But yeah, they still do. But it started when they were like babies.
There you go. Hey, listen, man. Go check out Big Easy. We always put. We actually did a show, a podcast at that one time. 1193, Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. And if you haven't seen the Book of Eli, please go see that.
You make me want to watch it again. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah,
I gotta
Book
see
of Eli
it.
Is definitely it. But
Dad said five, so I guess we done.
Yeah, we done. We gotta get up out of here. We gotta save some more questions. We'll be doing it next week again. So it was fun. SRT fun back. We gotta get started a tad bit earlier. Got to get started, Tab Era. Maybe we need to move it up.
Yeah, move it up a little bit.
Move it up to the first hour.
We might get in the first hour with some fun back.
Yeah, you might.
That'd
be
fun.
But we're going to be giving out another $25 gift card next week.
I'm calling in.
So,
am I eligible?
Six man, you're not eligible.
Yeah, you're ineligible.
So Facebook Live, $25 next week. Trust me, and we sending it out. I got the letter right here.
The money's real.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the youngin'. At Stillman University. Shout out to Hancock. Be safe on the road. T. Hancock, y'all drive safe. Shout out to my main man, Slick Money. Had fun on Facebook getting on D-Wheel about Clemson.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jay Smooth for coming in. He just come up here and drop money off and end up on the show.
Spur the moment,
man.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Shout out to G Money, man. Always doing his work. Shout out to my crew. And shout out to Big Boy Cigars, man. We probably go do a little something for Saturday. So if you want a stogie, you better follow me on Facebook. I'll let you know where we at. So that's all I got.
I only really got one special shout out tonight, and that's to my dad, Al Boyd. Thank you, Dad, for your advice, your encouragement, and your motivation. Many people don't have the mentality that you do, and I'm blessed to have you in my corner. I love you so much, and I am so blessed to have you as my dad. Thank you. Follow your girl on social media at Tip Get Familiar. Get familiar with your girl.
Make it quick. Thank you, crew. I appreciate the invite as always. Tiff, H-O, D-Wheel, G. It's always a pleasure. And that's it for me.
You want to say something to the Clemson fan?
Yeah.
Don't cuss at him, D.
Oh. Well, then
keep
no.
It clean.
Keep it clean.
No. Follow me on social media at IamCoachK9. That's IamCoach, K as in King, and the number 9. Hey, man, let's get it popping. Roll Tide.
There it is. And again, man, we want to send our condolences to the Smith family. Danny Smith passed us today, my God's mother, brothers. And he was a special young man. Actually granted me a bottle of Hennessy one time. And
oh, wow.
I truly appreciate that. It was back in the days when it was... Young folks say it was a turn up.
Yeah, you
turn up.
Lit. You lit. Lit.
No, that's what it is. It's lit now.
Dang, dang.
It's lit.
So we want to make sure we send our condolences. And again, shout out to Eric Vincent for calling in last week. And he knew exactly where all of us were from. The questions will get a little harder next week. So you definitely will have to tune in to listen. You may want to go through some archive shows, you know, because we go be going back, and you can get all those archive shows on HM3Inc.com. You already know. My main man Hancock is not here, so with that being said, I will say it for him. Boogie! Boogie!
Boogie!
You riding with me, and I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
The jewel of sports is leaving the building.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
And this your main man, H.O. from Bankhead, R.I.P. B.C., R.I.P. Mom. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
you better learn how to sing some panties off.
And we out. Peace.
See ya.
WWE 1100 AM.
Experience the difference.